Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Today, I get the pleasure of speaking with Joe Max Higgins, who is the CEO at Golden Triangle Development Link. He has more than 30 years of experience in economic development, and during his tenure, him and his team, his efforts have resulted in the creation of over 6,000 direct manufacturing jobs and over $5.5 billion in capital investment. He has some great insights on making decisions and trusting your gut. Let's listen in. Well, Joe Max, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the podcast today. I know we are really excited. I know our listeners are really excited to dive deep into your leadership journey today. So I want to dive right in and I want to ask you just a kind of a simple question, maybe not simple, but general question. What's the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
You know, Nick, I mean, I think there's a lot of challenges, but I've been in this business for 30 years. And I would say for leaders in our business and other leaders, I think trust and respect are the two biggest factors that I see. I mean, I think so often, you know, the public out there and others don't want to trust leaders. They don't respect leaders. And quite frankly, I don't think you can do a good job leading unless people trust you and respect you.
So tell me, how do you earn that trust and respect in leadership? I know we've talked some different things, but what's your take on that?
Well, I mean, it's generally not something you just walk in the door and do. I mean, I think it's the way you earn people's trust and respect is, you know, you do what you say you're going to do. You follow up. Ethics have to be held up at the highest level. You know, you might not get noticed the first time, the second time, or the third time, but sooner or later, if you're doing the right things and doing it in the right way, people are going to kind of gravitate and say, you know, that's a stand-up guy, that's a stand-up girl. You know, if they tell you something, you can book it. You know, I'd go to war with those guys in a heartbeat, that guy in a heartbeat, because I know he'll have your back and do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's trust and respect, certainly an ongoing, you know, challenge. It's easy to take away, but it's hard to earn. I know we've talked a lot about being vulnerable a lot of times can earn you some of that trust, respect. It's okay to admit, you know, when you make mistakes and when you're wrong, but it's definitely an ongoing challenge.
Yeah. And Nick, it's not something that once you earn it, you got for life. I mean, it's something you got to do every dang day.
Yeah, you nailed it. So let's shift gears just a little bit. What's a behavior or trait that you've seen in the 30 years that you've been in economic development that you've seen derail a leader's career? And what are some ways that you can guard against that from happening?
You know, I sometimes wonder that if people get derailed, that the reason they get derailed is they get too much outside pressure. They get too many people telling them what they would do and what they should do instead of kind of following what your gut instincts are. I tell my staff, I said, it's almost like don't let yourself be a pawn. You know what your core values are, know what you need to do to succeed, and don't let other people outside influence you away from that just because they're trying to do what they want to accomplish and almost making you a pawn in their chess game. I tell people that I've seen more leaders get derailed, I guess, for not having an opinion or inaction. And, you know, I think successful leaders and ones that keep their career have opinions, take action, and they don't get too much noise from the outside affecting what their choices are, what their decisions are.
It's funny. It almost goes back to trust in a way where you have to trust yourself, too. You can't forget about, you know, trusting your instincts. And there's a reason that, you know, you are in a leadership position. So you do have to continue to believe in yourself.
Correct.
So let me ask you a question. What are some things that you're doing to develop and grow as a leader? Because I know that's another thing that's ongoing. You always need to be, you know, changing and growing as a leader. What are some things that you're doing?
Well, I think all of us, no matter what business you're in, I think you've got to be a student of that game. You know, I happen to be in economic development. I don't read a lot of books, but I read a lot. You know, I read articles to see what other people are doing. Ironically, it's not uncommon for me to subscribe to local newspapers and towns that we compete with, to read about what's happening in their community, see if we've got the same issues and problems, see if we're solving them better, and just basically be a student of your game and soaking up all of that information that's out there and trying to find something that somebody else is doing better and borrow it, or find out somebody has the same problem that you have and their solution didn't work, might help you come up with a different solution. But basically be a student of the game you're in.
No, I love that. Absolutely. So as a student, what's a characteristic do you think that you've learned that has helped you become an amazing leader?
You know, I don't know if it's a characteristic, but it's something. One of my mentors, Jerome Alford, at the engineering firm I used to work for, he told me when I first started to work, he said, for you to be successful, you need to learn how to flow chart in your mind. If this, then this. If not this, then this. And you can walk your way all the way through. He said, most people will go into a meeting, go into some kind of an event, and they may have scripted the first play or the second play, but after that, they're winning. And he said, if you can flow chart in your mind and see the bigger picture, you will be more successful on your feet. You'll be more successful in making decisions. And you can just, all in all, be better than most folks because you've already figured out all of the variables, all the things that could happen, if they happen, what effect they have on other things. And if you can truly and truly flow chart in your mind, you see the much, much bigger picture of issues that most people never will see.
Boy, I think that's really, really great advice. It's something that's something new that we've never heard before. So I really, really love that. So you mentioned Jerome giving you a piece of advice as you just started into the profession. There's a lot of people that are, you know, young leaders that are going into, you know, leadership role for the first time. You know, now you're on the other side of the table. What advice would you give to a young leader that's going into a leadership position?
Well, I think I would tell somebody new going into a leadership position I think the first thing I would say is, make decisions, make them decisively, and make them quickly. I think too many people, older leaders and younger leaders as well, you know, an issue comes before them and they almost prognosticate, whatever, they almost put off the decision, they almost delay the decision, wait, we'll do this later. And the thing or the issue just gets worse and worse and worse. My advice to somebody young is make decisions, you know, make them quickly. And if you make bad decisions, you can correct them. But if you don't make any decision, people are going to start questioning your leadership capability.
Yeah, and time kills all deals. So, you know, it's one of those things where...
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've got a friend that works for a major corporation, and we were working on a project not too long ago, and I said, hey, you need to make a call on this. And he said, well, you know, sometimes we have in our culture, in our company, sometimes if you don't make a decision, the decision will be made for you. And I said, well, that's a hell of a way to work through life. I couldn't live that way.
Yeah, you know, and we talk to site consultants all the time, and they honestly say the number one factor when it goes into making a deal is how fast can it get done? You know, how fast is your response? How fast is the decision making? So I think it all does come down to that. I think that's great. So 30 years in economic development, obviously you haven't changed industries at all, but you know, how would you know when it was time to leave the industry, or maybe if it was even time to leave your organization or community?
Well, you know, if you talk about leaving an organization or community, I think the handwriting is on the wall in a lot of cases. I mean, just like a football coach or somebody like that, you know when your effectiveness has worn out, and the practitioner probably knows that before even some of the community people know that. It's time to move on. I've done all the work I can do here. I think that's when you change, to change job. You know, as far as the profession, I mean, I'm 59 years old, and I just cannot see myself not being an economic developer till I die or retire. But I do understand that if I ever lost the passion where it was fun, where you looked at a deal or looked at a project, and all of a sudden, before you get to the end of the RFP, start figuring out what, where, when, and how. And as Zig Ziglar would say, see yourself being there. I think once you get to that, if I ever get to that point that I don't do that on every deal I look at on paper, yeah, it's probably time for me to hang it up.
I love that you dropped a Zig Ziglar line too. Those are always great to have.
Thanks.
So I'm curious. So obviously going back 30 years in economic development, you're in a community that certainly has faced, you know, a number of challenges. What are you most proud of during all that time that you've been, you know, helping to build, you know, that community in Mississippi?
Well, you know, I get asked this question a lot. I go around the country speaking and people ask me, what are you most proud of? I think they think it's going to be a project, like it's going to be a Yokohama or a PACCAR or Steel Dynamics or, you know, something or Airbus, you know, some of the high profile projects we've done. It's not that. It's the fact that we are changing people's lives. You know, years ago, when I first moved to Columbus, Mississippi, I used to go to the cleaners, and there was a young lady that worked at the cleaners that would take my dirty clothes and have my clean clothes ready for me when I came back in that afternoon. And we were fortunate enough to land a multi-billion dollar steel mill. And when we went to the ribbon cutting for that, they had all the employees out there, and they took their pictures, and the governor and all the elected officials were there. And all of a sudden, I saw these two little skinny arms wrap around me, and I looked down, and somebody was hugging me from behind. And when I turned around, it was Christy, the girl from the cleaners. And she said, "Mr. Joe," she said, "I've got a job here. I'm working in purchasing. I'm making more money than I ever thought I would make. Thank you so much for bringing this project here. You changed my life." Well, if you watch or read the Atlantic Magazine articles on us, the special that was on PBS, or even the 60 Minutes piece, each and every one of those stories focuses on one or two of those individuals that we changed their lives based on what we did. And that's what I'm most happy for, and that's the most rewarding part of my career, is the ability to change thousands and thousands of people's lives. And when we change mom and daddy's lives, now we're changing the kids' lives and the grandkids' lives. And kind of like a tree and branches, you know, we'll be dead and gone at some point in time, but the impact that we've had on people will keep on going.
I hope all of our economic developer listeners out there, you know, got some chills, because that was a really great story on how we do, you know, economic developers really do have an impact, not just on this generation, but on so many future generations to come. Joe Max, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the podcast today. It was a pleasure again to dive into your leadership journey, and we really appreciate your time. Wow, that was really great talking with Joe Max today. He had some really, really great insight today. So next week, we get the pleasure of having Jill Bland on the podcast, who is the managing partner at Southwest Michigan First. She has a career that has spanned over 33 years in economic development, and she has some really, really great insights in her leadership journey. She was also awarded a Silver Stevie as Female Executive of the Year in 2016. So make sure and tune in next week to hear from Jill Bland.